You are back with The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. This is Catherine Cruz. You know, there's a big push to develop a vaccine here in the U.S., and in the headlines we hear about the efforts of other countries like Russia, China, and Cuba to do the same. This morning we talked to Dr. Stephen Hahn, the commissioner of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, about safety and the need to include diverse ethnicities in the clinical trials underway.
There is a race, and this race is against COVID-19. It isn't a race of one country versus the other, and at FDA, what we do is we look at data from any vaccine manufacturer, developer, and then we look at those data and determine whether it's safe and effective. And the bottom line here is we have a lot of vaccines that are in the pipeline in this country and around the world. That's great news. And everybody wants a vaccine as soon as possible. What we're going to do at FDA is we're going to receive those data when those studies are done, and then we're going to look at that and make a determination about safety and effectiveness. We've got world-class scientists, world-class doctors, nurses, pharmacists. They're going to look at these data, and we will make the absolute best decision for the American people about the safety and efficacy, and we have incredibly high standards. One of the things that's really important to the FDA is that we want to be very clear and transparent. This is the information we need to see in order to make a decision regarding the safety and effectiveness of a vaccine. So we put that out there, and one of the issues that we brought up was exactly what you're describing, which is that we want to make sure that those volunteers in the vaccine trials are representative of all America. So all ethnic groups, older, younger, you know, within a certain restriction of the safety of the vaccine and the protocol, obviously. But we want to make sure that they're all represented so that the results are generalizable to all of America. And so we spent a lot of time talking to the vaccine developers to make sure that's happening in these clinical trials. And as you may know, Catherine, there are two phase three clinical trials. So that's the, you know, the last set of clinical trials before the data comes to us that are in progress right now. And they've made really good they have good momentum in terms of the development of these vaccines. So relatively soon we should see the data, and then we can make the decision about safety and effectiveness.
And then what about making that vaccine available to everybody?
CDC is working with the National Institutes of Health and Department of Health and Human Services to develop a plan for allocation of vaccine. Now, from FDA's perspective, what we're going to do is look at the data from the clinical trials. That will give us a sense of which populations of Americans it seems to be beneficial for and safe. Now, it may be that it's generalizable to the entire population. It may be that it's a subset. We don't know yet because we cannot prejudge the data. But once we have that information, we'll be able to help guide the allocation process. But one thing's really important to everyone, and I think this is all of America, and that is we want to make sure that those who are at highest risk for the most serious consequences of COVID-19 have availability of this vaccine, regardless of socioeconomic status, or any other factor. It really has to be about protecting the most vulnerable. And so that will be a high priority. Also, making sure that those who are on the front lines of healthcare, food workers, et cetera, also have access to the vaccine. And so one thing that U.S. government's doing is working very hard to develop that allocation methodology and also to make sure that all the supplies that we need for the vaccine, the syringes, the actual vaccine itself, the needles, et cetera, are available when and if that decision is made by FDA.
How are we doing in that department? Because we saw early on, just even with the COVID tests and the lack of, you know, reagents. So how are we doing on the vaccine end?
In many ways, we are in a very different place now than we were early on in the pandemic. I think we've learned that the medical product supply chain, you speak about personal protective equipment, reagents, et cetera, is one that is definitely going to require more redundancy and also going to require more domestic manufacturing. Those are going to be really important things as we move forward. So July, August, September, very different from March, April, and May with respect to where we are with that. And we have been, U.S. government has been proactive about making sure that we purchase those supplies for the allocation of the vaccines. Now, again, it's all dependent on what the data shows. So I don't want to prejudge that a vaccine will be authorized, but the data will tell us what we need to do. But regardless of that, we need to be prepared for, because if that decision is made that a vaccine is safe and effective, we need to have those supplies and the actual vaccine to be available at that time to immediately distribute.
And what are you folks doing to help encourage kind of the broad cross-section and the ramping up in diverse communities?
It gets back to the issue of that what FDA has done during this time is that we work with all manufacturers, but we've, I'll use the expression, leaned in on this. We worked from the very beginning when the virus was first identified, and then helping the manufacturers and develop a vaccine developers of vaccines go through the process first in early studies, safety studies, effectiveness studies, and now in the phase three portions of it. And we're not waiting for those studies to be done and then to give an opinion. What we're doing is in real time, getting that information, talking to the manufacturers and developers, giving them feedback so that they can immediately institute any changes. With respect to the diverse patient populations, every week the vaccine developers are giving us information about who's volunteered for the studies, how many people have enrolled, what is their ethnic background, do we have enough of the elderly, do we have enough with comorbidities volunteers in the trials. When we get those data, we want to make sure that they're representative of the United States, and what we do is give them feedback. Well, you should consider enrolling more of elderly folks, for example, or folks with diabetes, or whatever it happens to be. But we're staying on top of it and working in real time. Let me contrast that, Catherine, with what happens in a normal vaccine development, where the vaccine developers would give us data after each segment. We would spend a month or two reviewing it, making sure it's okay, give feedback. They'd go back and revise. But by doing it in real time, we can really shorten that cycle. So not cutting corners when the science and medicine is done or the clinical trials, but really trying to make it as efficient as possible. And one thing that I've emphasized is that we're really looking at FDA to make our actions in terms of expediting this a permanent fixture in our assessment of medical products, because really getting innovative products into the hands of American practitioners, patients, and consumers is very important.
We've been doing many stories about how the Pacific Islanders are being disproportionately affected by COVID. There have been a number of fatalities in, let's say, the Marshallese community in Arkansas, you know, where they make up a very small population of that state, and yet I think half the COVID cases affect, you know, the Marshallese, those Pacific Islanders. You know, so whether it's here in Hawaii or, you know, in Washington State, San Francisco, there is a concern that there is adequate representation in these trials from the Pacific Island community.
I completely agree, and that is something that's top of mind for us. And as I said, we've been very explicit about the need for that diversity. But let me speak to that issue in general, because we've seen this in a variety of communities across the country. And some of it relates to how communities aggregate among themselves, how family's important, all those things that make all these communities so rich from a cultural perspective. We know that our path forward is fairly clear. We have seen the way out of this through a number of experiences across the states, and we want everything to be safe for people. So the common sense approaches of mask wearing, making sure that you avoid large gatherings, frequent hand washing, protecting the vulnerable, the elderly, regardless of the community, these are the things that we need to communicate to everybody, because it's very clear that when these common sense approaches from a public health perspective are instituted, that then we're able to mitigate this pandemic. And so to the extent that you're able to communicate with any community, Catherine, it's really important that we continue to get this message out, because that's our way out of this. That's the way we go back to school. That's the way we get back to work. That's the way we get America back.
And then when we do get a vaccine, is there a priority list? You know, I don't know what kind of talks you might have been involved in, let's say, with our military, you know, to make sure that our troops, you know, have a certain level of readiness.
Yeah, Catherine, no question that's important. DOD, the Department of Defense, is part of those discussions about the allocation, and that will be top priority for the U.S. government, because obviously our national defense, in addition to our local police force and frontline workers, is going to be very important for everyone.
How does that work if another country develops a vaccine? How do we know how reliable it is?
We have criteria that we expect to see, and many Americans don't know this about their FDA. And America's FDA, what we do is we look at the primary data. So before we actually authorize or approve a product, we look at the data from a clinical trial. Many regulatory agencies around the world look at a summary of the data, but we want to look at the actual information that was collected in the clinical trials down to a very, very granular level. Because what we want to do is we want to repeat those analyses to make sure that they're correct. So our standards are the same, regardless of whether a vaccine is developed in the United States or Europe or any other country in the world. We will insist upon seeing those data. If we don't have access to those data, we can't authorize or approve it. So I want to assure your listeners, but also all of America, that their FDA is on the job here. We'll use our very strict criteria, and we will look at the data regardless of the source.
Anything else you want to underscore?
I think it's really critical that everyone stay safe, that they follow these common sense public health measures. I know that there have been some recent restrictions in Hawaii regarding, you know, your outbreak there. And just we have a path forward. There is hope. We're in a different place. We have many therapeutics that we didn't have before. And, you know, there's a way for us out of this. And my absolute best to people, just please follow those common sense public health measures.
That was FDA Commissioner Dr. Stephen Hahn talking about efforts underway in the race for a COVID vaccine.